Morning. Welcome to 3 Mile Wesleyan Church here in rainy Elkview, West Virginia on this Lord's Day, Sunday, May 24th, 2026. And those folks join us online, you're probably noticing a few changes here. We've heard some people say they're having a hard time hearing our messages, so we decided to move our tripod that holds our cell phone, over about 3 or 4 feet and then up on the platform. And we're hoping that will improve the sound quality of our video, so you guys can let us know what you think there. So just a couple of quick announcements. We mentioned before we started the broadcast, next Sunday, May the 31st, is Lee Swore's last Sunday as pastor of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. And so if you get a chance to mention him, if you're his Facebook friend, you might want to congratulate him and wish him a happy retirement. And 5 weeks from today, June the 28th, Pastor Bill Barr will be here, and he's a potential candidate. And I know Bill's watching us today. Hope Bill, you can hear me better today. He's going to be here on June 28th and also on Wednesday, July 1st, and we are praying for a great time seeing him. And then 7 weeks from today is our district conference down in Roanoke, Virginia, and we've got a delegation going to head down there. It's July 12th and 13th. And that's all I got for announcements. All right. This weekend, we Americans are enjoying a Memorial Day holiday that has great significance for our nation. And while it is designed to honor those from our past, this holiday comes with huge implications for our future as well. And while many folks merely consider Memorial Day to be the unofficial start of the summer season, you know, with Labor Day being the unofficial end of the summer season, this holiday means much more than just backyard barbecues and family get-togethers and a weekday away from work for those of us in corporate America. Today we honor those who have died while serving in defense of our country and in defense of our freedoms. And even though Memorial Day is a federal holiday and not necessarily a Christian holiday, we Christians celebrate and remember the biblical values of sacrifice and courage and love. The title of my message this morning is The High Cost of Freedom. The High Cost of Freedom. We're going to turn right to our Bibles in John chapter 15. We're going to read the words of Jesus. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. I'll be reading from the NIV. Words of Jesus. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Thus reads the word of God. Father, as we come into your house today, it's our desire to lift you up, to bring you all honor and glory, to interpret your word properly. And God, while we honor those who've sacrificed on this holiday weekend, God, we desire to give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You might have noticed throughout the year we have multiple holidays that celebrate our military men and women. But these holidays are not all the same. You know, Armed Forces Day brings honor to those who are alive and currently serving. Veterans Day brings honor to those who once served in the military but are no longer serving, whether alive or dead. And Memorial Day is different. Memorial Day is a sacred time to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Memorial Day is a solemn day marked by honor and reflection and gratitude. You know, a commonly heard phrase is, all gave some, but some gave all. That means that every member of our military and their families, all of them have made sacrifices on our behalf. But there are some who never were able to return home. Some gave all means that precious lives have been lost in defense of our nation. We all know that freedom isn't free. Freedom has been paid for by the blood of those that we honor on Memorial Day. And before we take our freedoms for granted, let us be reminded of those who never had it. Our history has shown us that there have always been wicked men who would scheme and do anything in order to rise to power. Whether it's been the complete elimination of freedoms for those who have been vanquished in years past, or the enslavement of entire races, our world history is full of conquerors who have enriched themselves at the expense of personal freedoms for the masses. There is a high cost of freedom. And it behooves us as Americans to remind the younger generation of this high cost. And in these verses we just read, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ encouraged his disciples to love each other the way that he had demonstrated to them. Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down your life for your friends." The parallels are obvious to us today, to those of us who know the end of the story, those of us who have read the Gospels and have learned about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells them, there's no greater love than to sacrifice your life for the sake of another. And not long after he said these words, he showed us by example what it meant. There is a direct comparison between our fallen military men and women who died for our freedom and the sacrifice made by our Lord who died for our salvation. There's a high cost of freedom and there's a high cost of salvation. And while these two blessings are gifts to us, they were not cheap. Our freedoms were paid for by the blood of our armed forces members, and our salvation was paid for by the blood of the Son of God. Freedom and salvation are free to us, but they both came at a very high price. This holiday weekend, we bring honor to those who selflessly gave their lives for our benefit. And perhaps there are some hearing my voice today who are grieving this Memorial Day because they have lost a loved one. And it can be difficult on this holiday to watch everyone else celebrate a day off from work, while on the inside, some of us are still dealing with the loss of a family member. But did you know that even in the deepest of our sorrows, our God draws near to us? This verse from the book of Psalms reminds us that we are never alone. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you are grieving the loss of a loved one on this holiday weekend, be reminded that our God has promised us to never leave us and to never forsake us. And not only does our God comfort us, but he also gives us grace and equips us to comfort those around us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. It is well known that one of the greatest joys in life that we can experience is when we're able to help another person who's in distress. As we seek godly comfort for our own grief, let us be reminded that there are others who are just like us, and they need to know the true comfort from God also. Let us be encouraged to share with the brokenhearted the good news of our God's love. Let us be encouraged that there is a hope and a future for those of us who have repented of our sins and have turned to God for salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. For those people within our spheres of influence who are hurting, this hope can provide great healing, permanent healing, as we will see later on today. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Bible reminds us that healing is possible even after we have suffered a very, very painful loss. Healing is available through the God who sees us and loves us deeply. And our God is a master of restoration. And he is still in the restoration business, I promise you. The God who designed us, the God who created us, the God who sustains us, that God knows us better than anyone else, and he knows how to restore us. He knows how to bring healing to the hurting. And perhaps on this holiday weekend, we're hurting for other reasons. Perhaps we have pain inside our hearts, maybe not necessarily because of the loss of a loved one, but maybe because we've been living to our fears for way too long. Some of us live with anxiety. Some of us live with worry because we live in a world that appears to be total chaos. Some of us have trouble sleeping at night because we see wickedness and evil in our world, and it seems like the bad guys are always winning. Perhaps we have inadvertently exchanged the peace of God in a futile attempt to be current, to always know what's going on around the world. We forget the bad news sells. Media outlets News corporations, podcasters, influencers, they all know that bad news is what gets all the clicks, gets all the attention. Bad news brings in the advertising revenue. So that's what they push. And if we're continually feeding ourselves an endless stream of news media, then we're not really getting a complete picture. We're hearing bad news 24/7. And a constant stream of negative media can cause us unnecessary grief, unnecessary stress that God never intended for us to endure. And in the book of John, chapter 14, John 14, Jesus spoke about troubled hearts. John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And we notice twice in this same chapter, John 14, twice Jesus told his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." I think Jesus knows there's a great impact to us when our hearts are troubled. Jesus is telling his disciples that he's providing a peace that the world simply cannot offer. And on this Memorial Day weekend, whether we are remembering our fallen heroes of our military, or whether we're dealing with anxiety from the madness that we see with our own eyes, we are reminded that God grants supernatural peace, real peace that dispels all fear. The Apostle Paul later reminds us that this peace is available to everyone who believes in Jesus. Paul tells us that what comes from God is a true peace that the world cannot even comprehend. The world cannot experience this peace outside a relationship with the one true God. The world can try, but they're looking in the wrong places. Self-help books will not grant you the peace of God. Prescription medications will not relieve you of the deep burdens inside your heart. Online chat groups do not possess the ability to lift up the brokenhearted in a way that only our God can. So ask ourselves, are we looking in the right place? Or are we listening to the world? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." True peace, true lasting peace, comes only from a relationship with Jesus Christ. True hope only comes from receiving the free gift of salvation that God offers to all humans through the blood of Jesus. Ask yourself, why would I want to settle for less than the very best? Everything that the world offers you is limited in capability. Everything that the world offers you is a partial improvement at best. Everything that the world offers you is self-centered in nature. It's all about me, me, me. Everything that the world offers you is temporary in duration. But the Bible speaks of true, lasting peace that only God can provide. And in times of loss and uncertainty, God's word brings real comfort because God is actively embracing his people with love and deep caring and a peace that transcends all understanding. Have you ever thought about what that phrase means? What is this peace that transcends all understanding? Here's what it means. It means that when we place our trust in him, God grants us peace in the midst of the madness in this world. It means that our God is working and healing and restoring and uplifting us in ways that we cannot even detect. It means that our God is helping us make sense when everything around us is senseless. It means that our God is reminding us of our true meaning in a world that seems meaningless. The peace that transcends all understanding means that the world cannot possibly comprehend how it's even possible for us to be calm in the middle of the storm. In times of trouble, in times of heartache, the world seeks help in the wrong places. But the people of God have a fortress and a refuge that we can turn to, who will shield us from all the insanity around us. Do you possess this peace that transcends all understanding? It's available today. On this Memorial Day weekend, as we honor the heroes of our military who gave us everything, we have the opportunity to receive God's supernatural peace. And while I was writing this sermon, I asked our God to guide me as I always do. My goal for this message was to bring honor to our fallen military men and women, but also to ensure that all glory goes to our God. And lifting up our God is my goal for this message and every single message that I bring here. I'm always worried that I'll screw it up, that I'll end up delivering a sermon that somehow lifts up humans but doesn't properly glorify God. I'm always a bit nervous on certain holidays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, these military holidays. We recognize and thank those around us for their giving and for their selflessness. You know, and I'm always worried that maybe I'm not doing this right. But I'm also reminded that we glorify God when we listen to His Word, when we follow His decrees, we are honoring Him. And we know that Scripture affirms the value of honor and sacrifice. That's confirmed by the first verse that we read from Jesus earlier. The Bible recognizes the courage and bravery of those who willingly put themselves in harm's way in order to protect ordinary people. The Bible reminds us that it is good and proper to give back what we owe. And I'll read that verse here in just a moment. The high cost of freedom compels us to give what we owe to those who have given everything. Here's Romans 13:7. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. In some interpretations of the Bible, we'll say that last portion of this verse like this. It'll say, give honor to whom honor is due. That's one interpretation. And there are many other passages of Scripture that teach us to look outside of ourselves, to lift up those around us, to love our neighbors, to give what we possess to help someone else in need. These are good things. Our God is honored when we remember His Word and exhibit these types of behaviors that ultimately reflect the love of God. We know God deeply loves us. He deeply loves His creation, and He desires for His people to love each other. There's nothing wrong with bringing honor to other people as long as it's done with the proper motives and not for selfish or political purposes. And a few verses later, Paul tells us that love is the fulfillment of the law. I will say a personal note here. While I don't have a lot of family members in the military, I do have some extended family members who have served. And years ago, I remember my father-in-law telling me that his first cousin was drafted into the military at the age of 18. This young man was sent overseas to fight in the Vietnam War. And sadly, he only lasted 2 weeks. Years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to go visit the Vietnam War Memorial down in Washington, D.C. There's a long wall, the famous polished black granite wall at this memorial, and it contains the names of 58,220 American servicemen and women who perished during this war. We eventually found the name of this cousin of Dina's father, and we created a rubbing of his name using paper and pencil where all the names are recessed into the wall. And we noticed that the mood of everyone present was somber and quiet. No one spoke out loudly. No one spoke in even a normal voice. No one was posing for pictures. Many people had tears in their eyes as they followed this wall that seemed to go on and on and on. This weekend, we honor those men and women who ended up with their names on that wall. And they're not alone. Those men and women did not get the opportunity to live a full life the way that some of us have. These servicemen, these servicewomen had passions and dreams just like everyone else. But their lives were cut short because they willingly gave all for our benefit. It's an emotional thing. All gave some, but these men and women gave all. And it is proper and biblical to remember and honor their sacrifice. In the midst of death and suffering, though, there is good news from the Word of God. In the same book of Romans, Paul tells us that neither death nor life will be able to separate us from the love of God. That's Romans 8, verse 38. For those of us who are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, death is only a temporary separation. No loss, not even death, can separate us from God's love. And more importantly, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ reminds us that there's a coming resurrection, as he was speaking to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Verse 27. "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Jesus reminds us that even in the face of death, there is a promise of eternal life. Jesus spoke of a temporary, earthly death, but he said that everyone who believes in him will inherit eternal life. Do you have this comfort in your soul? Do you know this Jesus, who in a similar fashion gave himself as a sacrifice for our benefit? The Bible tells us that God desires a relationship with every single person he has created. The Bible tells us that God desires for his house to be full. When God is knocking at your door, do you open the door and receive him? Or do you ignore him and choose to follow the world and do your own thing? And that's a decision that every single one of us has to make. If you desire to know God, you must repent of your sins. You must turn to Jesus in faith, and you will receive the free gift of salvation, where God has promised to blot out your sins forever and ever. And the Bible describes our future state in the book of Revelation. No matter how hard your life has been, no matter how much loss you've endured, no matter how much pain you've had to live with every day of your life, one day it will all go away. For everyone who believes in the Son of God, it will all go away. Here's what it's going to look like. Revelation 21, verse 3 from John. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" One day God will restore every single element of the lives of his people. All of the sins committed by his people have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says they will be remembered no more. All of the crimes committed against God's people will no longer affect us. Our God will restore us. Our God will make us whole. God willingly does this for us, not because we are sinless, and certainly not because we are perfect. No. God redeems us because his perfect justice has been perfectly satisfied by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So let me ask everyone hearing my voice, have you had your sins forgiven? Do you know this Jesus? Have you approached the throne of grace and asked God to forgive you, because it's available today? The high cost of your salvation has already been paid on the cross of Calvary. But it does require you to turn in faith to God and to receive his redemption of your sins. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we can remember military folks who have died serving our country. And it's also a great time to remember that Jesus also died for our benefit. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. And in that same chapter, the Word of God reminds us that sin entered the world through one man. That's Adam. And God's perfect provision of grace to bring justification from sin also came through one man. That's Jesus. And as we close here this morning, let's take one last look at that problem that Paul's talking about. This little problem that Adam brought into this world and the solution that Jesus brought into it. Romans 5, verses 18 and 19. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as though through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. And as we dismiss here today, let us be reminded of the sacrifices made for our benefit, not only by those military servicemen and women, but also by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we celebrate this holiday weekend. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifices made by those before us, our predecessors. Father, the Army, Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, the National Guard, all the members of the military, God, who've served before us, we thank you for them. And for those who have died while serving, we thank you for their sacrifice that benefits all of us. But more than that, Father, we thank you for the sacrifice made by Jesus, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and scorned its shame for my benefit. Thank you, God, for your plan of salvation. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for your path of redemption that gives us a hope and a future on this holiday weekend. Father, we love you. We desire that you would put somebody in front of us this week, Father, who needs to know what we know. Someone who needs to know you the way that we know you. And God, we pray that you send laborers into the harvest. Father, we thank you and praise you and uplift you in all things. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.